anything until I gave God everything. Now I got everything. I thought while you came and gave that money, had a great message on prayer Sunday. Monday. We don't, any one of us in here, if you're any way near part of us that don't believe God can do anything. About 30 miles down the road, I was taught that a miracle is a natural catastrophe seen through the eyes of faith. I said, that ain't right. Virgins don't have children. Last time I checked, you don't have children by virgins. And 90-year-old women don't have children. I don't know where they got all their theology, but we believe God can do anything. Now, I don't care whether you believe it or not, but I believe God has made my gas tank run 50 miles further than it was supposed to. I come over that mountain at Jellicoe. I run out at the bottom of the other side of it, but I made it to the gas station on this side of it. That's about 40 miles. God can do anything. Yes, if you don't believe that, you ain't part of what I'm part of. Amen. He can heal. He can raise the dead. I'm not a charismatic, and I don't follow no charismatics. I just believe God can do anything. Amen. But I'm going to tell you the hang up. It's will he do it? Now, some men have prayed for things to happen that were not necessary, and he did them. It wasn't necessary for fire to come out of heaven for Percy Ray, but he sent it out of heaven four times. And Doyle Turner said, I was there and saw it all day. He can, but will he do it? Now, I'm on that end of it right there. I'm having my trouble right there. And if you could get the heart of God, you could tell when he will and when he won't. Is that right? Would you not think that? I prayed that I'd learn to pray before I die. So I probably live a few more days. But I'd like to know how to pray before I die. I'd like to know when he's going to. Brother Milby's closer to it than I am. I like to pick his brain, but he ain't got much to pick. No, I'm just kidding. He won't tell you what he knows. I appreciate everything y'all do for us. Everything. It's really the spirit of the camp meeting. I wasn't raised this way. I wasn't even close to raised this way. But God, but you know how you find your way here? By the still small voice. Yes, sir. Just that impression. You come in a crowd where somebody's got something you don't have. You better shut up and not make yourself ignorance known. Just be quiet so you don't expose your ignorance. That's what I did for 30 years to get here. Come a long way to get here. But I wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. Amen. And I'm not always where I want to be. Really, I'm not. I don't know how I've ever accumulated so many friends. And they can throw this way away if they want to, but it's done me good. I feel very successful when I lay down at night. I wrestle with the Lord about this text. Because I hate the internet. Y'all got it, but I hate it. Because you heard me preach before. And so if I come over here, I wonder which one you heard preached. I think they got 20 sermons on there that I preached. And one of them, I don't even remember when I preached the crazy thing. I don't never remember preaching it, but they said they did. It sounded like me a little bit. So I don't know what you've heard, but I'm going to tell you what God showed me. The last thing God revealed to me while I was praying was this text. I hate to have a cold revelation. I want a warm, hot, close revelation from the Lord what to preach. And so I wrestle with the Lord because I've got tons of revelations. I'm not talking about extra-biblical revelations. I'm talking about personal inspirations from God. I don't hunt sermon books anymore. I told my wife coming down the road, I remember going to my friend's house when we were in Bible college. We went to his place. I was going to preach in a church, and he was preaching to his pastor at the church. And we sat up all night long on Saturday night trying to get a sermon for Sunday morning. We ain't the only ones to do that. There's some of you have done that. But I can tell you a better way. Leave your Bible home, read your Bible enough that you know what's in it, and go off somewhere and pray until the Holy Ghost impresses you. Amen. And then come back and make sure you understand the verse like God wants you to, and then let the Holy Ghost do it. That's what he did here. I was praying. I'll tell you about it while I'm going along, I think, but I wrestle with him. Preached a message called Torn Between Two Worlds, having desire to part and be with Christ, which is far better, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh more needful for you. He's torn between two worlds. And I preached the whole message. That's a good message. Everybody ought to hear it. Everybody's in it, so why shouldn't you hear it, you know? Preached on the tabernacle hundreds of times. But I want something fresh. So I wrestled with him. Finally, last night, about 1 o'clock, that good. He won't argue with you, just wait on you. I said, that's what I'm going to preach, Lord. If you have me preach, well, I'm going to preach. It just settled the water. Calmed the storm, just like that right there. That's a good God, ain't it? It's a good God, ain't it? Amen. It's a long text, so you can be seated. Well, thank you for everything. I appreciate the privilege to stand in this most elite place. I'd rather stand here in front of the convention, Southern Baptist Convention. I don't care how many they have. This is the place. We will not be sorry we've stood this way when we stand in front of Him. The 30th chapter of Samuel, 1 Samuel, is the story. Let me give you the background and I'll tell you how it is. David ran from Saul and Saul nearly got him. He didn't nearly get him because God's hand was there to protect him. He went to the Philistines twice. One time he got there, he got scared, started acting like he lost his mind, drooling on his beard. And Achish said, "What do I need a crazy man for?" So he kind of dismissed him. "Is this humming on you? Is this roaring too much? What do I need to do, Jerry?" Anyway, so... But the second time he went, he was convinced that Saul was going to get him. So he went to Achish and he just said, "I want to come over here and I want to be part of this outfit." And Achish took him in. And Achish said to David, now we're talking about David. He said, "There's not any need of me living in the royal city with you. Why don't you just give me a little town out here in the suburbs somewhere? And I won't be in the royal city where you are." So he gave him Ziklag on the south end of Judah, way down in the desert. And he gave it to him. And David had 600 men with him. There was 600 of them. Gave him Ziklag and he went and made invasions into... Really, he was kind of a undercover agent. He got his enemies. But he said, "I made an invasion into south of Judah." So Achish said, "Well, he's killing his own people." Well, he wasn't doing that, you know. But he didn't know better. And he said, "Make sure and don't leave no evidence. Let's kill everybody so they don't nobody run over and tell him that we ain't doing the right thing." So anyway, so there comes a war between Israel and the Philistines. So the five lords of the Philistines all get together with Achish. And they go up to fight with Saul and Jonathan. And Achish wants David with him. And so David's right with him. But... you and I both know that he even regretted cutting the hem of that garment off. I wish you knew the geology of the happening there. He wasn't taking a chance on anybody running in that cave. You had to pretty near be a tightrope walker to get in that cave. So he really wasn't. But when he cut that off, his heart smote him. He got to go down in the camp where Saul was asleep. And he could have killed him so easily, but he loved him. Even though he was hated by Saul, he loved him. And he loved Jonathan. And he just thought so much of Saul and Jonathan, but he was going to be in a military fight with their enemies and expected to try to kill them. Well, I don't know what you think about it, but this has to be the way it was. David was in such stress about that, he knew that he was going to have to kill the very people that had taken him in. So he didn't want to do that. and terrible stress. So I think the psalm that's written about the time when he changed his spirit before Achish, or Abimelech he calls him, I really believe it's this situation right here. So they go up to make the war, and thank God the lords of the Philistines said, we cannot let this man come with us. He will turn his hand against us, and we'll have a man fighting in our ranks. We cannot do this. Oh, he said he's not going to do that. Achish said, oh, he's not going to do that. And they said, yes, he will. They just insisted. So finally Achish told David, they said, look, they're not going to let you fight with us. Just go on back home. And when this is all over with, we'll, you know, back to normal. And I really believe it was the answer to prayer to David. I believe he walked away with a free, I believe it was just like, I don't know, just wonderful that God has took that pressure off of him. So he come back to Ziklag. But when he got there, Ziklag had been burned and all the stuff taken. I mean, he took all the treasure. They went in their houses. They took everything they had. They kidnapped all their children, their wives, little boys and girls, and carried them off. And they burned the city. And it was so bad that that's the text where David encouraged himself in the Lord, because they really wanted to stone David. He said, no, we're going to go get them. David was a great leader, great leader. I tell you, I don't know what you think about, but all those men that you read about, even the enemies of Israel, were great leaders. Nebuchadnezzar was a great leader. Cyrus, Darius, all of them were great men. They could stay in one little place and rule the world without a telephone, television, or a car or anything. Rule the world. How could they do that? They were not just pushovers. Them men were brilliant. And David was a brilliant leader. So he took his 600 men and he started chasing the trail that was left behind. They came to the river down there in the desert. And 200 of those men just were so tired, I suppose coming from where the battlefront was back down to Ziklag. Then they were just exhausted by the way the city was burned, and their children were gone. My little boy's gone. My wife is gone, and everything. My guns are all gone out of the closet. You understand? I mean, I know better, but you know what I'm saying. So they're exhausted, and they cannot cross this river. So it wasn't a gully; had to be a pretty good river. So they just said, "We can't go across." So he said, "Well, you just stay by the stuff, and we that can will cross the river, and we're gonna follow this trail and find out who got our stuff." So they're going along, and they come to, I guess we'd say about verse number 10. We'll just go there. But David pursued, he and 400 men. For 200 abode behind, which were so faint they could not go over the brook Besor. So there's the story I just told you. And they found an Egyptian in the field. And brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat. And they made him drink water, and they gave him a piece. You know, everybody's preaching on types. I mean, I don't know what them types are right there. You may have it all down. I don't have it. They may be all right, but that's not at all where I'm going with this. They gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. So you don't know why he's like this. I mean, they found him I guess they found him in the brush pile somewhere. I don't know where they found him. And David said unto him, this Egyptian, to whom belongest thou? And whence art thou? And look at his answer. He said, kids, listen to me. If ever anybody ought to hear this message, it's you. He said, in verse 13, he said, I am a young man of Egypt. So he's a young person. I don't know how old he was. He's probably a young teenager, 13, 14, 15. I don't think he'd have been 18 or nothing like that. I doubt it. He'd been young, not really seasoned for life. He said, I'm a young man of Egypt. Then he said, I'm a servant to an Amalekite. Well, I got to I got a list of things about Amalekites. I don't know where it's at here somewhere. But Amalekites are the ones that struck the back of Israel when they come out of Egypt. And according to the word of God, they didn't strike the main army. They struck the sick, the weak, and the feeble. So I gather from the way they struck Israel, they must have been a bunch of yellow cowards that couldn't face up to the music. Not going to get in a real fight. They're going to stab you in the back if they can. Yes, sir. They'll take every advantage of you. If they can, they'll bite your ear off while they're fighting you. They are not going to fight fair. They're crooks and crooked. God said there will be a war with Malachite all the generations. And then he sent Saul and said, get rid of them. And he didn't do it, of course. The Amalekite is a type of the devil. God's enemy all the time. Listen, the devil's your enemy all the time. How did this Egyptian become a servant to the devil? Now, you're in a good church this morning. You're in a good church. And I love your pastor. And some of you preachers, I know your life, and I know that your church has a good pastor. And he's going to try to keep the devil out of your face all the time. And you may not like the way he does it, but he's going to try to keep him out of your face. If you'll stay where he's at, that Amalekite may not get you. But if you play out in the briars and the thickets and you're fooling with drugs and drink and messing with that crowd that's dancing to rock music and everything else, that Amalekite's going to find you away from protection. And he's going to haul you off and you're going to wonder what in the world you'll ever do because you never see mom and dad again. You're hauled off as a slave. And when you get sick, he's going to throw you in a ditch somewhere. He don't care about you. All he wants is what you can do for him. I know I'm right. A slave to the devil. One cigarette won't hurt you. That's where drugs start. One, you know what? I have a big bottle of high-powered pain pills. That foot liked to kill me for a while. Shoulder hurts me all night. Thumb hurts. And if I wanted to, I'd take them every day. Said, take one morning, one at night. I told that woman, I said, this junk right here will kill a man. Oh, no, it won't hurt you. I said, don't tell me it won't hurt you. We lost that bottle of pills yesterday. And boy, my heart broke. Some woman who lives a low life, trying to make a few dollars, clean a room, saw and couldn't stand it. That's what I thought. And I didn't sleep last night over that, really. That in this prayer, this message. I prayed before I got out of the bed. I said, Lord, I know you can, but will you? Let me find that medicine. We went through that purse 4 or 5 times last night. But Beverly, when I went over and pulled that purse apart, there was that pill bottle. And I thanked him and praised him, but some little old girl didn't get that. Garbage destroyer. Amalekite. You see them everywhere. That Amalekite's got them. Hey, you all, listen. How many preachers in here hold your hand up? Preachers, you a real preacher now. Don't put no baloney on me. You a real preacher. You look through people like a glass, don't you? We can see right through them, Dave. They can't hide it from us, that far away look in their eyes. Benson, can they, Chris? They can't hide it from us. You look right through a person. We've done it all of our life, all of our ministry. 47 years I look through people. You can't hide it, far away look in your eyes. That Amalekite is going to get you. I watched him as he worked on Brother Jerry's boys. I sent him texts and prayed for him, Brother Milby. Amen. I'm praying for you. I called your name today. I called your name today. I called your name today. Patrick still sends me a text. David, don't send me none no more. Patrick still sends me a text. The Malachite, David. The Malachite. Patrick. The Malachite. Son, you're a young preacher. And you've impressed me already with your kids. But you better know there's an Amalekite watching you. Young preachers can be slaves to an Amalekite just like an old man or a little boy. How in the world did you get to be a slave of an Amalekite? He said, I played on the edge of the camp. I wasn't interested in what mom and daddy wanted for me. I didn't pay no attention to a man of God. I didn't listen to instruction when it came. I wanted to play just a little far out from the edge over to the edge as I could get. That's what I wanted. You believe me? Anybody believe me? How did he get to be a slave to the devil? They'll say, I had this one night, Brother Bilby, I had this. Snowed bad. Snowed on you up there just like down here like it did up there on our side of town. Snowed bad. There was 17 in church. Couldn't get the heat up. Sat on the left side of the pulpit right there. We had two rows of pews. 17. 17 in church. We run big numbers. There wasn't nobody there that night. 17. So I preached. In my preaching, the mother and the daughter were sitting there, and another man and a woman that weren't, they were just going together, they were there that night. And that daughter, when the praying was done, I don't always bow my head, but I pray. When the praying was going on, that girl looked around at that man's going with that woman and flirted with him. And so, I mean, you know my way. I'm just not real, tactful. Thanks, Brother Milby. I appreciate it. Not very tactful. I just cut down on it. So that night I went home, and the mother called me. She lives right here in this county. She did. She called me, said, you were talking to me. I said, that's strange. My wife didn't think I was talking to her. Tactful now. I was pretty tactful. She said, were you talking to my daughter? I said, yes, I was. She said, I don't like it. I said, okay, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just quit preaching against anything. How about that? She said, no, I don't want you to quit preaching against everything, but just don't preach on that. I said, yeah, I think I'll just preach on everything. Forget it. Ain't that right? The Malachite, you know where she is tonight? She's a skank. The Malachite got her. She's a low-rate human. Live like a lizard, or like a snail crawling around in the slime. Dissipated and used up. And 30 minutes of party is worth 23 hours and 30 minutes of hell on earth. Malachite. How did you do that? Because I wouldn't listen. I saw that girl get up and go hug sisters. Neck over there, and it broke my heart. I said, praise God. One kid in that crowd knows that Amalekite is off of them because Liz, somebody loves them. These girls are trying to teach you and keep the devil off of you. Let me get out of here. I can see that faraway look in your eye. Well, probably ought to quit preaching on that. Look what the Amalekite did with him. He said, my master left me because 3 days ago and I fell sick. You're going to always fall sick. Yeah. Hangovers, headache, puking in the bathroom. Amen. Don't know where you were last night. You're going to always fall sick. If it weren't for one every now and then, Dale getting out of it, I'd quit this business. Who's listening? That's what Terry says. Are you listening? Good question. Does anybody remember when the Amalekite had you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe if you don't remember, you might ought to check up on your memory. I don't believe you can get saved and lean toward Him and fall in. You don't have to do nothing to fall into hell, but you won't have to get right to fall into heaven. And to get and listen, those men stood up and said, what are we going to do with her? She was caught. Jesus said, he was without sin, cast the first stone. You know what they did? The oldest left, from the oldest to the youngest. That young guy looked over and said, my goodness, I thought he's the best saint in the county. If he's gone, I ain't got nothing to offer. So they all left. The Amalekite's a bad master. He's a bad master. I remember, I've been saved for 62 years. But I ain't forgot what the Amalekite did to me in those first years of my life. B.H. Carroll said, oh, the beginnings, the beginnings. I read the context, see what he meant. He meant the days you start moving out from mom and dad in that old time church. Push them doors open. Check out the way society's going. Let's check out here. You know, if we don't do this now, we ain't never going to get to. Let's see what we're missing. You better not see what you're missing. You'll be scared to death. Am I right? Dead right. You can't live many years as I've lived and not see something, learn something. My master threw me in the ditch because I was sick. He didn't sit by me, buy me some medicine, settle my stomach. So boys, y'all wait up here. This little guy's sick. I'm going to stay here by him and get him through this. He said, no, you ain't no good to me no more. Threw him in the ditch. Right on down the road. We're getting a big party. He's sick. He ain't going to help us. Let's go on down the road. So that's how they found him. So he tells David, he said, we made an invasion, verse 14, upon the south of the Kerethites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said unto him, canst thou bring me down to this company? He said, can you bring me to them? David could have found them without him. Yeah, I'm glad it was David. It wasn't Ahab. Jezebel. Is that right? Glad it wasn't Pilate or Herod. It's David. Jesus, the son of David. You know that blind man at Jericho? They said, who's passing by? I said, Jesus of Nazareth. He knew better than that. Said, he ain't Jesus of Nazareth. He's Jesus of Bethlehem. He's the son of David. Don't you guys know anything? I'm a blind man. I got enough sense to know that he's not from Nazareth. He's from Bethlehem. What did he know? I don't know what he knew, but he knew enough. He said, no, I ain't going to leave him alone. I ain't going to hush. No, sir, buddy. I found the king, the son of the king. I'm not going to leave him alone. There's a few things I said to the Lord that have been, I think, the way you should pray. I said, Lord, I don't want Matthew 7, Lord, Lord, to ever be in my life. I don't ever want that. I don't care what you got to do. I don't want you to ever say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I want you to never say, I never knew you. I don't care what you got to do. I cannot stand that. These people thought they were saved. They were not saved. I said, I don't care what you got to do. I don't care. I don't care. I'll never leave you alone. I'll never leave you alone. You make sure that I am in. You make sure I'm in. I said, I will never leave you alone until you teach me how to pray. I will never leave you. When I die, the last whispering things on my breath, one of them will be, Lord, I want to know how to pray. I want to know how to touch the hand of God that can touch everything else. And maybe you don't pray that way. And then my third prayer was, Paul's prayer in Philippians, that I may know him, the power of resurrection, fellowship, suffering, form. I asked that. I said, I'll never leave you alone about it. But boy, I'm going to tell you what, I got sideswiped on that one. Totsie and I have been through storms that you can't even, you don't even, I would never tell you. We both thought our ship was going down. We really did. I looked at her and thought, we'll never make it, baby. You didn't feel that way, did you, but Dale? When that mess hit you, and that boy had that motorcycle. Hit that motorcycle. Pretty bad day, wasn't it, buddy? This ship ain't going to make it through this storm. Is that right, Chris? You might feel that way right now. Me and him out which one of us is going to get home first. Storms. That I may know him, the power of his resurrection. I wasn't thinking about the fellowship of his suffering. Being made conformable unto his death. How'd he suffer? Suffered alone. How'd he die? Died like he's guilty. He's guilty. I don't want that to happen to me, Dale Owens. Roger. I want to look at him and say, yeah, that's what he had to him. That's what he had coming. He's guilty. That's what he ought to have. That's what ought to happen to him. Yeah, look what he did. He ought to have. That's what he ought to do. Only one knows is God. Wasn't true. Wasn't right. He's the only one. My Lord, that's awful, Chris. I don't want to die that way, but I ask for it. If that's how I die, that's because I ask for it. And if I ask for it and he gives it to me, I believe that it will turn out good, bad as it looks. Totsie and I are closer today than we ever were in all of our life. I love her 10,000 times more than I ever loved her all the rest of my life. Kiss her feet on the biggest square in the world in front of the greatest gathering of people, no matter who they are. I would pull her shoes off and stockings off and kiss her feet because of the love I have for her. Because of storm. Anyway. Can you bring us down to this company? He said, before I answer that question, there's two things I got to request of you. He said, swear unto me by God. Swear not at all. Neither by heaven, the earth, or the city. He said, swear to me by God. What do you want me to swear? First of all, I don't want you to kill me. I want to die from a brush pile. And don't deliver me back into the hands of that Amalekite. You know where this message came from? Came out of my but I said, Lord, 62 years ago, I remember what kind of master he was. I don't want him in charge of me in any degree. Whatever you have to do, don't let me get back in the harness of that Philistine. I mean that Amalekite. If you ain't been saved, you might not pray that. But if you really have been saved, and you let your mind, that's what Peter said in Peter, he's talking about revival. All through that thing, he said, put you in remembrance. Remember, remember, remember. Brother Milby preached for me 100 years ago. The other side of the county. Every time he'd get up, he'd say, I want to thank the Lord for saving me. Call me to preach. So about two or three times I said, my goodness, ain't that all? Is that all he's got to thank the Lord for? That's enough. Amen. I said, maybe there's more to this thing about getting saved I ought to remember than I have. And there is. I remember those struggling nights. You know, we'll read this verse. It said, and they crucified him, one on the one side, one on the other. It just said, they crucified him. My Lord, what a traumatic, passion-filled moment when they took that innocent, perfect human, laid him on a piece of wood and nailed him down for mine and your sin. What a horrible, horrible scene. We just shove it all up in a capsule and said they crucified him. He died for me. You remember when your loved ones died? How good was it? Was it nice? Was it tough? Did you stand over that box and say, he'll never say to me, son, this is what you ought to do. Mama, I wanted to call daddy. He'd been saved. He'd been lost for several years. He's a carpenter. Had a little work to do, a little carpenter work to do. I didn't know what to do. I said, Lord, would you tell my daddy? I sure wish he's here to tell me what to do. Just putting a carnage on a house. I never did watch nobody do it. I don't know how he did. You understand that? Well, he said, don't let me. He said, don't kill me. But don't let me go back into his bondage, please. Amen. Keep me in victory over him. Don't let me get a little bit cold. Amen. Don't let me get a little bit cold. Quit reading my Bible. Quit praying. Don't let me quit praying, Lord. Keep me tender towards sinners. Huh? Amen. Don't let me get where I can't weep. I was riding with Brother Milton, Brother Samuel, had a CD in. Me and him was both crying. The guy was preaching, I mean, he'd done the job. We was just crying. I said, Brother Sammy, I have to listen to this kind of stuff to keep my heart all the time. He said, me too. When that heart gets hard, buddy, you better go to the prayer place. First church, they got a lot to say. He's buying that Apostolic Fathers book. He's going to get that book, I guess, or download what he's going to do. But J.P. Lightfoot said the first church, he gave the instructions from one of the things they said in there, that we don't put up with smart alecks. You wouldn't believe that, would you? We got a whole gang of smart alecks now that are real high-powered stuff in our book, smart alecks. Say them cocky things, make fun of fat women. Johnny Mixon said, leave them alone. I like mine fat. I like mine fat. If she's as big as this building, I'd like her. Huh? Smart aleck. Huh? Say, hair lip the devil. Why don't you shut your mouth? There's somebody in here with a hair lip. And by the grace of God, you don't have one. And it might be they'll do more with that than you would with a good lip. Ain't it right? I know it's right. Y'all excuse me, I ain't trying to drag this out. He said, I don't want to go back. He said, I'll bring you down. Well, I'm not going to read the rest of that, but they got everything back. They didn't lose nothing. They got all the guns, all the money, all the clothes, all the kids, all the wives, came back to Ziklag. And of course, you know, Saul and Jonathan got killed. So they moved up to Hebron, the kingdom from Hebron, and then he moved on in and took Israel, became the greatest king they ever had. He fixed it up so good that Solomon ruled the greatest territory that Israel ever had, all the way from the Euphrates River to the river of Egypt. He was the ruler over it, and then he let women take him away. The Amalekite got him. Even the Amalekite took after David in Bathsheba. And then on the end of it, he numbered Israel and lost 70,000 poor people that had nothing to do with it. 70,000 sheep died because the Amalekite whispered in his ear. There's two things I would proposition you about, and I'm going to quit. One is, children, stay close to the fire. Stay in the camp. I know you won't understand, but just stay in there. I know they look, you know, they get the paint up pretty good out there. Let me just stay over here with this little tight outfit over here until I got enough sense that if I'm out there, I can protect myself from them. You know, I preached a graduation, two of them this past year. And I was praying about the past, you know, preaching about the graduate. Soon, what you know what to do? You take that young graduate, he's 17, maybe 18, or her. You carry him up here to the edge, and that's life. You've had them back here and just kept them up. You hug them and kiss them and say, I love you. I give you everything I had, son. Daughter, gave you everything I had. You got it pure stuff from me. I didn't mix it. And now I'm going to see what you got. Step back. Turn them loose. And they hit that sea of life. That's a tough moment right there. Kids, you better get it before you get there. That freedom will destroy you. That boy went off to that pig pen. He didn't know that pig pen's where he went, but he did. When he got done, that Amalekite done his job, he came home and said, I tell you what I've done. He said, I've sinned against heaven, and you watched me. And if you would just make me somebody to serve, I'll sweep a floor. I'll clean the hog trough. I'll do whatever you want, but just let me be a slave under you. Let's bow our heads. I appreciate the letting me, Brother Milby. I appreciate all the love y'all showed me. I want you to consider this morning, if Brother Milby wants to give them an invitation, to come and say, lock me in. Lord, don't let me get out of control. Hold me back. I don't have enough sense to hold myself back. Will you hold me back and keep me from getting away from what will keep me right? Would you do that? You don't have to say, I'm going to. Just come and beg Him to keep you right. Father, in Jesus' name, I count it the highest honor in my whole life to stand in front of the great congregation of those who believe right, the old-fashioned way. I count it such a privilege. And who am I that I'd get to stand here coming from such a horrible background? And I thank you, Lord, you're able to promote anybody. I pray you'll help the kids. I hope the kids have heard me this morning. Really, I hope everybody has. Yes. There's somebody who needs to be saved. I know that. If they don't get saved, they're not going to fall into heaven. They're going to have to work to get there. They've got to get their mind on it. So I pray you'll help them. In Jesus' name, amen. Go on ahead, preacher.